Well, it's so good to be with you today. Thanks so much for joining us. And we're in this series on overwhelmed. And I don't think it's any mistake that God kind of put this on Jeremiah's heart several months ago and speaking right into this, especially as we're only like a month away from a little less than Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you can already start to feel some of that busyness coming on board. And so we're going to talk about that today. Before I do, though, I just want to celebrate with us as a church. I'm so proud of all of you here at CPC and your response, especially beginning with our serve day where we stopped having worship services here and we went outside and we were the church in our community. And over 1,500 of us were serving that day. It was just a great day with 25 different projects that got done that day as you gave your time and your talent and your gifts to that. And then right after that, the Sonoma Napa fires happened. And we wanted to respond as a church, and that week just tons of bags of clothing and supplies came in, as well as we asked you to give gift cards because they had more than enough as far as clothing. And so you gave $15,000 of gift cards. I just want to thank you so much for that support to go out to those that have really lost everything, lost their homes, and so we want to be able to respond to that. And then also, last weekend, we asked you if you would help us with Sentaro Village, which is a village that we support in Ethiopia. And we had 50 new kindergartners that needed to be supported, and in one weekend, all 50 have been supported. And I'm so delighted for that. And really excited, Rod and I also got to sponsor another child, and this is just a picture of some of them after they've been at school. And so now 50 more kindergartners are going to get an education and really receive the hope that Jesus has for all of us as this village is being lifted out of poverty. And it's just incredible to see what God has been doing in that village. So thank you for that. Next weekend, we're going to launch into a series on generosity, and Tyler's going to preach throughout this series, really excited about what it means to live a generous life. Before worship today, our team was back in the family room praying together, and John Phillips, who's our director of worship and arts, just said how good it is to give rather than to receive, and to serve rather than to be served. And we want to be a church that excels in generosity. And I'm just so grateful to see the ways that all of you are doing that and want to continue to speak into that. So please join us next week for that. Well, today we're going to launch now into this second part of the Overwhelmed series. If you missed the message last weekend on overcoming worry, I encourage you to go online. I want to welcome our online audience today and check that out as Jeremiah did such a great message about how do we overcome worry. And today I want to focus in on how we overcome busyness in our lives. And that's something all of us deal with every day, don't we? So before we begin, would you pray with me this morning? God, thanks so much for the gift of your word today and for what we're going to learn through it. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be present as we just sang this morning, that you would fill this place with your presence, and God, that you would open our ears and our eyes to what it is that you have for us today. Help us to receive it in our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. There was an explorer who wanted to go into the African interior to a distant village that was going to be several miles away. And so he hired a bunch of local villagers to carry his supplies. And upon his urging, he went as quickly as possible to get to this distant village. Well, the next day, when he was eager to go again, the Africans refused to rise. They wouldn't get up. And when asked why, they said, "We went too fast the first day, and we're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies." How many of you are waiting for your tired souls to catch up? How many of you today are waiting for your tired souls to catch up? You know, I was thinking about this and how often we charge our cell phones every single day. We plug them in. I know my kids get kind of panicked when they can't find the charger to plug in the cell phone. Every day, we don't miss a day, but do we every day charge into the life-giving connection that we have with Jesus Christ? Do we spend time every day allowing God to recharge our souls? You know, the phones or any kind of technology has no power to do that. There's only one source, and it's the one who gave us life. And he wants to recharge our souls every day. His word tells us this in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Another translation to that is cease striving. Just stop. But we get so caught up in busyness, don't we? God gave us that gift of rest for a reason, so that we might recharge our souls. Even from the beginning of creation, God put into place a rhythm of work and rest from the very beginning. It wasn't because God needed rest. It's because he knew that all of us would need it. So that our souls might get recharged, we might get refilled. Yet today, more than ever, I think we find ourselves, if you just look around, overworked, overstressed, overplanned, overscheduled, leaving many of us overwhelmed. How many students can relate to this? Playing two sports or doing multiple activities at once, so after school you head to your first practice for a few hours and then off to the next. You get home around 8:30 to begin working on several hours of homework from your multiple AP classes while trying to eat dinner in between. You add to this private lessons, coaching, clinics, tutoring, and then the pressure of trying to stay connected to your friends on Snapchat and Instagram in order to stay relevant. No wonder our students are so stressed. You know, as parents and as adults, we're no better, right? We work like crazy to afford the good life. We sign our kids up for every kind of activity under the sun so they will hopefully be better or more successful or popular than we were, figuring we can slow down when we retire. But our retired CPCers can tell you they're still so busy. After all, you get asked to volunteer in all sorts of places because people think you've got all this extra time. And you're still trying to visit all those places you were too busy to visit before, while taking care of aging parents, as well as your grandkids. Why is this? I mean, you just ask somebody today, how are you? And the number one thing they say now is not, I'm fine, it's, I'm busy. And if they're particularly overwhelmed, I'm crazy busy. I hear this all the time. We even put a positive spin on it. Oh, I've got a lot going on right now. I mean, it's all good, but I'm just really busy. We wear it like a badge of honor. Why do we do this? I think there's several reasons. Number one, it looks good to be busy. When our schedules are full like this, take a look at this kind of schedule. Some of us have this up on the wall. We feel like we've got purpose. We've got meaning. We feel needed and valued. There's a sense of competitiveness about being busy as well for some of us. We want to be the kind of people who get things done. We are those can-do kind of people. We get things accomplished. For others, it's all about FOMO, F-O-M-O. If you haven't heard that, it simply means fear of missing out. And many of us live with this. So we're constantly overscheduling for fear that we might miss out on something or that our kids might miss out on something. And then there's the social pressure of busyness. I think our students especially deal with this. We want to have an answer to what we're doing on Friday night, even if we don't have any plans. We want people to think that we do. Parents, I think especially moms, stay crazy busy. I know I fell victim to this because we're afraid of being judged or criticized by other uber-scheduled, crazy, over-scheduled moms, right? You know, we so easily fall victim into this busyness trap, and we find our lives moving at such a fast clip, and our tired souls are just struggling to catch up. I don't think that's how God intended it at all for any of us. I remember one of the busiest times of my life was when I was trying to finish seminary. My husband Rod and I were married, and I was still working full-time in the church and trying to also take classes, so I was doing extension at Fuller Seminary down in Pasadena. At that time, Fuller had a residency requirement, so even after we had our first two children, we have three, but our girls, Amy and Nicole, were just little. Nicole was a baby, and Amy was about 3 years old. Here's a picture of us one Halloween, about that time. Yes, we dressed up as spiders. Those are little tentacles coming off our hat. If you need an easy Halloween costume for Tuesday, by the way, this is really good. But there's Nicole and Amy. And it was just a crazy time in our lives because I had to move from here, from the Bay Area, from Fremont, where we were living, down to Fuller in order to finish my residency requirements. And I did it with our two girls while Rod stayed up here working. It was just a wild time in order to try to get done with seminary. You know, as I look back now and I see, here's a picture of our girls now. This is Amy and Nicole today. And I think that was 25 years ago. And yet, I think I'm just as busy. Things haven't really changed all that much. Time magazine had an article back in the 1960s. That noted expert testimony was given to a subcommittee of the U.S. Senate on time management. And their conclusion was that due to advances in technology, within 20 years or so, people would have to cut back radically on how many hours a week they worked or how many weeks a year they worked. Or they'd have to start retiring sooner. The great challenge, they said, would be figuring out what to do with all their excess time. You know, I look around us, and 50 years later, not many of us would say that our biggest challenge is excess time, would we? And that was 50 years ago. We get so caught up in busyness now more than ever. But here's the danger for us. If left unchecked, busyness can take over our lives. For most of us, it can wreak havoc, especially in our spiritual lives. If we allow it to, it begins to break that life connection that we have with God. And here's the truth about busyness. I want you to listen to this. Busyness is the enemy of intimacy. Busyness is the enemy of intimacy, of having that kind of connection with God that God wants to have with us. I've fallen victim to busyness more times than I'd like to admit, and I've come to realize that one of the biggest snares, one of the largest traps, the easiest traps that the enemy uses against us is to keep us busy, to keep us distracted. You know, even technology has been a big problem in this area of just trying to keep us distracted. Remember when vacations used to be a time where you'd turn off the off-on switch? We'd actually turn it off. Now it just becomes kind of a dimmer switch because we have our technology right with us, don't we? So many of us are sleeping with our cell phones right next to us, many students right on the pillow with them. Even putting it in a Ziploc bag in order to take it into the shower with them, not to miss anything. So it gets crazy, doesn't it? God wants us to have a life-giving relationship with Him, and that's going to mean staying connected to Him more than we're trying to stay connected to our technology. We are most driven to busyness by believing two persuasive lies. And here's the lies that we get caught up in. Number one, it's all about me. It's all about me. And number two, it's all up to me. It's all up to me, and it's all about me. Those are our two lies that we get caught up in. And I know I've done this myself. I shared this with you several months ago, that there was a time about 5 years ago after losing my twin sister very suddenly, and then my dad getting sick right after that, and then we were struggling every day with our 16-year-old son, who was really having a hard time with depression and anxiety. And life just was feeling like it was falling apart, and I just felt like I was pouring in, trying to do all I can. I started believing those lies, that it's all about me, and it's all up to me. And suddenly, the joy just started to kind of seep out of my life. And I knew I was not in a good place. And so I sought out counseling, and that's just been life-giving for me since that time. And getting back in touch with the tools that I needed, as I knew that I needed to get to a better place and allow God's joy to fill my life in a way that I knew He wanted to live out of the fullness, not out of the depletion. You know, sometimes I think we start looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, "In me all things hold together." In me, right? Oh, no, that's not what it says. It's in Him all things hold together. But it's easy for us to get off track. God invites us to trust Him in all things, because it's in Him all things hold together. And when we start believing that it's all up to me, we stop trusting in God. We stop trusting that God is good, that He has good intentions for you, that He wants the best for you. As Jeremiah tells us, His plans for you are for good, not for harm. And the enemy wants us to believe otherwise. When we start believing that it's all about me and we buy into that lie, we get caught up in our own pridefulness and we start lacking humility in our lives. And God wants to show us a better way. You know, God tells us to follow Jesus, to follow Him. Our purpose here at CPC is reaching people and following Jesus. But friends, if you want to follow someone, you can't go faster than the one who's leading. Following Jesus cannot be done at a sprint. And many of us try to do this. So if busyness is the enemy of intimacy, how do we overcome it? How do we enjoy the kind of intimacy, that kind of life connection that God wants to have with all of us? Well, I want to pick up where Jeremiah left off with a sermon on worry last week, from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus gives us a way not only to overcome worry, but also this whole busyness trap that we get caught up in. Listen to what God's word tells us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You see, two times Jesus mentions the word rest. He wants to help us know that it's in Him that we find our rest. We find that place where our souls can get restored. I love the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message. He takes these same verses and he says this, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." You notice the first thing that Jesus invites us to do is to simply come to Him. To come to Him and experience a rest, what He calls a real rest. And this isn't just a good night's sleep, friends, but it's the real rest that Jesus wants to give to us every day. Jesus wants to give us that kind of deep refreshment, a full recovery from the toll that He knows life can take on us. So He invites us to come. And listen to this, because I think this is so true. The deeper concern is not how we manage our time in a busy world, but how we manage our inner world in a busy time. How are you managing your inner world today? Are you staying connected to the one source who can really give you life, who can restore you and refresh you and help you to live out of the fullness of his joy? Jesus shows us a better way, and it begins with a relationship with him, of staying connected with him. He invites us to walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And I love that phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, Jesus says, learn them. In other words, they don't come naturally. That's why I think prayer and solitude are called spiritual disciplines, because they're going to be disciplines that we have to learn. They're going to take practice. It's not something we're used to, and we have to learn how to do it. We learn those unforced rhythms of grace. So what are they? What are the unforced rhythms of grace? It's the balance between our work and our rest. It's walking with Jesus every day and allowing his spirit to work through us and watching how he did it. Jesus tells us to learn from him. And as we read the Gospels, we see all the times that Jesus slipped away with his disciples for a time of rest and solitude. His word tells us often he got up early, while it was still dark, to get away and spend time with his Father, to maintain that intimate relationship that he had with his Father. He spent times of quiet and of solitude. When he and the disciples were off doing something with ministry and they came back just exhausted, but the disciples were pumped up, they were filled with adrenaline, he would still say, get away with me. Let's go spend some time of rest. Do you notice how Jesus was always busy, but he was never hurried? He was never hurried. And he doesn't want our souls to be hurried either. But to find that kind of intimacy, that kind of rest that only he can give us as we learn to live into those rhythms. Jesus never went about the busyness of his ministry in a way that severed that life-giving connection he had with his Father. He never did it in a way that interfered with his ability to give love when love was called for. He observed a regular rhythm of withdrawal from activity for solitude and prayer, and he calls us to do the same. So how can we avoid the busyness trap? What are some choices that we can make every day to build intimacy with Jesus instead of allowing busyness to take over? What are some ways that we can be sure that our struggling souls are not just trying to, we're just not trying to catch up? Well, it's creating margin in your life. That's the first thing. And this is a tough thing for us to do, but margin is breathing room. It's that white space that we put in our calendars and that we put in our lives. And it's a choice that you and I make. It's not something that someone else is going to make for you, but you have to make it to provide margin in your own life. Let me give you some examples. It's not scheduling back-to-back meetings 1 hour after the next, but scheduling 45-minute meetings so that you have some 15 minutes of breathing room to think and to process. It's getting outside of your office or your home or your classroom and taking a walk once in a while and just breathing. It's noticing the fall colors around you instead of just keeping your head down working all the time. It's not piling up so many commitments in your calendars or your kids' calendars because of your own FOMO. It's not rushing around the day at 80 miles per hour. I mean, just go into a grocery store, or Target, or Costco, and just watch for a minute how quickly people move. Take your shopping basket and go the opposite direction slowly and see what happens. I tried it the other day. It was pretty funny. You know, ministry happens most often in the margins. I've come to realize this over years of being a pastor now, that what happens, that God, what God wants to do most often is in the margin in the interruptions of my day, not in the things that I have planned. And so one of the things that I've learned to do every single morning before I even get up is to pray, God, help me be attentive to your spirit today. Don't let me miss out on what you have for me today. Because I know I'll just get tracking along to my agenda or my plan or what I have on my schedule for today. And God often has something else. I think ministry happens most often in the margins. So how's your margin today? Do you have that openness, that space available when God calls you to love someone who's in need or reach out to someone or care for someone that he puts right in front of you? You know, I want to encourage you today to create margin in your life and start living the rhythms of God's grace that he has for you. Get away with God. Spend time with him. We have San Damiano right up the street here in Danville, which is a great place just to go take a walk outside, to look over our San Ramon Valley and just to breathe, to spend some time resting and in solitude. You know, I truly believe that solitude, taking that time alone, is the place where God does his greatest healing and prayer for us. We need to let God's word speak into our lives every day, to spend time in his word. This is a living word, and God has something to say to us through it. And it's so important that we're spending time in scripture. You know, some of my own rhythms is prayer every day and spending time in his word. It's taking time to get outside and walk in nature. I know for me, I love being in God's creation, not in the office where it's really out when I'm out in nature that I hear God speak most often in my heart, in my soul. It's getting away and getting that quiet time. Another thing that feeds my soul is just really good teaching or a great book. All of us have different ways that God feeds our soul, and we need to get in touch with that. What are those things for you that restore you, that are restorative for you, that fill you with the kind of joy God wants you to have? And then begin putting those things into practice. I want to challenge you this week to just take 5 minutes to be still, to stop striving. Take 5 minutes. And for those of you who are overachievers, you could take 6. That's okay. Just take that time. Put that margin in your schedule this week and see what God has to say to you. You know, another way that I've learned about living into these unforced rhythms of God's grace is watching people who do this really well. And I'm grateful for people in my life who are several years older than I am who have lived this out well. One of those people was Nella Powell, who just passed away a few weeks ago. We just had her service last Monday. Scott Farmer officiated. And it was a beautiful testimony of Nella's life and the ways that Jesus was present in her life and how she spent time with him every single day in prayer and reading his word. And she was just that Southern belle who had that sweet aroma of God's grace. You wanted to be around her. So many of you knew Nella. She was a member here for almost 40 years, her and her husband, Kelly, who passed away a couple years prior to Nella. I know she's in eternity now, and just in the joy of Jesus' presence, where her heart longed to be, actually. And the service was just so neat, just such a beautiful testimony of her life. Her kids, 4 kids, were all up speaking about her, and you could see the legacy of her faith passed on to her children, who are all following Jesus, and grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren. But Nella also knew she wasn't perfect. She knew that she struggled with this as well. I loved what one of her daughters, Luann, shared. She said, I found my mom's Bible and I was reading through some of the notes and there were just prayers tucked into her Bible, all these different prayers. And one of them that she pulled out said, "Dear God," and this was a time where the 3 girls were little before they had their 4th. And she said, "All 3 of the girls are in the other room and they're all sick and they're all laying on the floor. And they're all crying. And then she just writes, "Oh God, help me. It's going to be a really long day." And then right after that, she writes, "And God, you know, I didn't even want to have kids." I just love that. You know, that's honesty. That's the kind of transparency that Nella had. She's very dear friends with many on my prayer team, and one of my prayer team gals said, "I just love Nella. I'm going to miss her, but I'm so glad she's with Jesus now." And she said, you know, Nella would often tell me, she said, "You know, Juanita," this was one of the gals on my prayer team, she said, "Juanita, I know that there are days sometimes where I just don't play well with others." And she knew that she needed to keep it in check. You know, that's when she would pull away for a time of rest and let God restore her and refill her again. And we need those kind of people in our lives. I think that's so important for us. Look what Psalm 127, verse 2 tells us. "It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those that he loves?" Friends, God loves you. He's given you the gift of life. And he wants you to enjoy the kind of rest, real rest, that he has for you. As we learn these unforced rhythms of grace, listen to what Jesus promises. He says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I won't lay anything heavy on you. Think about the things that are laid on you right now. Some of us may not really believe that's really true when Jesus tells us that. But he promises that he's with us no matter what it is that we face. And we can trust his word, that his word is true. Not only does Jesus offer us his rest, but he promises that he's going to help us carry the yoke. That's why he says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me." This is a picture of a yoke, because a yoke is something that two people have. It's used for oxen oftentimes. But it means that this yoke Jesus is asking you to bear is something he's bearing with you. So when he tells us that he won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, it's because he's right there next to us, carrying it with us, helping us to carry any kind of burden, any kind of heaviness, anything going on in your life. Jesus is walking with you, and he invites you to walk with him and trust him with that. You know, Jesus carried the heaviest thing so that none of us would have to be able to carry it, and that's the weight of the world, the weight of our sin. And he took it to the cross for us. He took it to the cross so that we wouldn't have to. And I believe that one of the ways Jesus was able to do that is God himself helped Jesus in carrying that yoke. And God now helps us in carrying whatever it is that we face as he walks alongside us. We don't have to do it alone because he's right there with us. And not only is Jesus with us through his Spirit today, but he gives us a community of other people, of other believers around us. And that's why it's so important that you're connected with a life group, and why we talk about this a lot, because there's other believers, there's other people who we want you to be praying with and encouraged by, and being loved and supported, being challenged and being held accountable. And we need those people in our lives, don't we? You know, we also have times where we need to remind one another that you're not alone. If you're facing cancer, or you're going through divorce, or you're struggling with the loss of a loved one, or whatever it is that you might be facing, we have incredible care ministries here at CBC, and that's why in your bulletins today, there's this brochure on care ministries. And if you turn it over, you might see something that has your name on it right now. Because we want to remind you that you're not alone, that God is with you. And we want to be a church that walks alongside people and helping them with whatever life comes their way. So often when I'm out in the community and I'll meet somebody who hears that I'm a part of CPC, they'll say, "Oh, that's the church that helps people, isn't it?" And I love hearing that, because I want to be a part of a community of believers that are the hands and feet of Jesus in the ways that he calls us to do just that. So the challenge for you today is create margin in your life. Take time to do that, to spend time in prayer and solitude. And don't allow busyness to rob you from the kind of intimacy Jesus wants to have with you. Stay connected to the one who's the true source of life. And keep company with Jesus. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. John Wooden, who was a UCLA coach, and he passed away years ago, but he had some great quotes, and this is one that he has. Don't mistake activity for achievement. Don't mistake activity for achievement. You know, God tells us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me. And as we do that, we're going to learn God's unforced rhythms of his grace so that we might live life that is free. Free from sin and free from the burdens that the world so often tries to lay on us. And to know that God wants us to come away with him, to come to him, and experience the life that's truly life. Friends, I want to encourage you today to surrender your schedule to him and allow God to put that kind of margin in your life that he wants to have. You know, John's going to lead us in a song, I Surrender All, in just a few minutes, and I hope you'll just let the Holy Spirit speak into your life about what it might be that God's asking you to surrender today. Maybe it is your life for the very first time of just letting God be the general manager of your universe so you can now resign from that position. Let's pray together this morning. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift that we have of rest, of real rest that we find in you, for the intimacy that we can experience with you. And God, I pray today that you would help us to set aside time, Lord, to have that kind of margin that we're ready to respond with love because we have been loved. God, with forgiveness, because we have been forgiven by you. And Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. I pray that you would help us to be your hands and feet everywhere we go. And Lord, don't let busyness rob us from the kind of intimacy you want to have with us. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing through your Spirit. And now as we also receive our tithes and offerings, God, I pray that you would help us to give in the ways that you have already given to us. And Lord, thank you that you're a God who wanted to serve and not be served. And so receive these tithes and offerings today, God, and use them to your good purposes, we pray. And thanks for this time together. We give it to you in Christ's name. Amen.